of these Mac games to know that you never get the even the C crew. Like, you're getting at least the D crew. And it is wild all the time. It is just like, okay, yep, new people, this is what you get to cover today. Oh man. So yeah.
No, the D, it's like, remember the D squads used to have the women announcers. You'd always have like the one woman announcer, and then you realize, no, there's more than one woman announcer. They've just trained these poor ladies to all sound the same. Oh. And I just every time, all, I mean, seriously, I think, who's it, Doris Burke that does NBA, I think, is her name?
Oh, yes.
She sounds different. I think she just went, no. I'm a bigger name than ESPN can allow me to have, so I'm just going to do my own thing. But there are so many sideline reporters, announcers. There, I don't think there are no women color announcers, right? For football, at least.
No, not that I can think of
Okay.
offhand.
All right. Just all right. But yeah, but it's like they've just, as much as they've homogenized male announcers, like ESPN has, they've done it with the females too. So I guess that's a quality. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, we bitch about it all the time with good old Vince there about
Yeah.
how everyone ends up sounding the same.
Except Pat McAfee, because he's like, I don't need this job. So.
Yes, and we have discussed that before too, where
Yep.
Pat's like, okay, whatever, man. But even I really enjoyed the whole run of NXT Corey Graves. I enjoyed the first couple of months, well, probably first year or so of Corey Graves on main TV, but ever since it's just like, okay, he's just, yep, he's playing his role.
Yeah, I
Like,
think
I guess it's not
he tries to get away with
offensive.
stuff, but it's difficult.
Yeah. And I mean, I do appreciate his musical references still. He does seem to stay on top of things, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I can't really say I've heard Corey too much. I watched a little bit of Raw this week trying, and I saw Bobby Lashley just destroy Dominic. I almost said Guerrero, which is kind of funny. Mysterio,
Right.
and then oh, all the women standing in the locker room like doofuses. Here's the, like, one side is not the Survivor Series team, the other side is, and then so Zelina Vega is just waving her hand around like a, like some weird marionette, and I'm like, oh my God. And then, do you remember the maid of honor from the wedding, Brandy, Elise's friend?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she came into town. She's flying out of Charlotte, so she came in town, was staying the night because we're 10 minutes from the airport, and she goes, oh, wrestling, huh? Still watching? And I was like, calm down. I was like, I watch this stuff now as if I was you. Like, I'm watching Raw as if I don't watch wrestling anymore and go, why would anyone watch this? It was just so, like, there's Nikki A.S.H. dressed like a weird superhero. Rhea Ripley looking like she's straight out of like Blade Runner, trying to come up with an update, Cyberpunk, I guess. Zelina Vega just waving around blankly like that. Liv Morgan looking kind of just normal, like a wrestler. And they're all just standing there. And then Doudrop, unfortunately, shows up. And she goes, oh, she's a big one. And I was like, yes, because they dress her like one. They purposely put her in this gear to make her look bigger. And I was like, guess what her name is? Doudrop. Oh, I was like, yeah, double D, you know, pretty big woman. Yeah. I'm still not over that one, by the way. That still pisses me off. So I'm hoping this heel turn of hers makes her go, no, my name is not Dewdrop. My name's Piper Niven, or just something. You know, especially with Eva Marie being gone, she can do what she wants now. Which, by the way, nice awful story there. But, and I mean, Eva Marie, not the releases. So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess both of them are.
Yeah, it did not really. I think that she could have had some payoff, Eva Marie, because people. It's one of those ones that if people were legit booing her still, and it's just like that's just gonna let her stay around, guys. That's just gonna let her stay around, man. Don't give her a reaction if you don't want her there. Silence is the real is the real fear. But I wasn't surprised. Like, she still can't wrestle, you know. The quality of wrestling in the women's division has gotten better since she left, and she hasn't gotten equally better.
No. And that's the thing, like, Dana Brooke is still there, and I know Corey Graves, to kind of tie it together, kind of said some nasty stuff about her, and he says it was in character, but okay. But I'm also wondering if that was fed to him. Which, by the way, and I don't wish this on anybody. How the hell is Dana Brooke still there instead of some of the women they released, instead of Mia Yim? And again, I don't want anyone released. I want to actually use the people, you know, correctly, especially. But you can't tell me Mia Yim was making more money than Dana Brooke if it's a true budget cut scenario.
Yeah. This round definitely was not about budget necessarily. This was a real scattershot one. That was one thing that was kind of strange. Because I feel like you could do, like, little groups within the release people. You know, you could do the, I feel like Mia Yim was in the, as we've discussed previously, the too old category.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
You know, like, her, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Scarlett, possibly you could group Ember in that group.
No, and Ember was only 31 or 33.
Well, that's
which I guess is older than what they want.
Yeah, so. That I guess that's why I said possibly for her. Like, she definitely isn't fully in that group. And Frankie Monet is another one.
Yep. 38 years old, and boy, did you read her stuff? Ooh. She was not happy.
Her
statement, or
I saw some of her tweets. I'm not sure what all I have seen. I mean, that one was really weird. You know, like, just because it seemed like the women's division was humming when she came in. And it seemed like, oh man, this is going to be great. They're just going to throw her into the mix with all these other great female talents. And then some of them got called up. Some of them got injured. And she never really, she never really got a chance. Like, that's one of those ones that obviously wasn't on Vince. Like, I don't know why Triple H signed her if they weren't going to almost automatically use her. You know, like, if they were trying to teach her a new way to wrestle or some type of shenanigans like that, I'm like, she's not going to change that much, guys. Like, you're getting what you're getting here. You know, and it's good. You know, I'm not trying to be disparaging about the quality, but it's just like, just the same to me could be said for a lot of people. You know, I don't know why, but Finn Balor kind of popped in my head. is one of those guys that, I mean, there might be some little subtle things that you teach that guy, but he's been around long enough before getting to the WWE that, like, what really did you teach him?
Yeah, and I, to be dead serious about this, I wouldn't be surprised. All right, so supposedly, there may be another round of cuts. And
nothing would surprise me at this point. Like, I was shocked. Like, Chris told me it, and then I ended up seeing the full list the next day. It popped up as an alert about the fact that it's been there are 70 wrestlers, just wrestlers, that have been released this year. Like,
yes,
that is an entire roster, and I'm like, and I'm still sitting here going, they still don't have enough screen time for everyone.
Yeah, and okay, so one, that's why calling this a budget cut is bullshit. We already knew anyways, so let's just, we can get that out of the way. We already know it's just a line.
Oh, yeah.
But, so are you telling me that the people you got rid of combined make as much as, say, AJ Styles or Randy Orton or Roman Reigns, for that matter? So if you want to make a big splash and, like, cut your budget quick, will you just get rid of one of them? Because it's pretty clear that no, like, none of these people mattered to anybody on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, that was their biggest problem.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I'm still obviously baffled about how you don't get Keith Lee or want to push that guy.
Let's not even do this, because the idea that you get a guy, like, just in his case, and I know he was, like, one of the big ones, but they're, like, releasing Mia Yim to me is just criminal. When you didn't even use her. Oh, I'm sorry. She was, what, Reflection, Redaction, whatever goddamn name was, in that stupid-ass group.
Yeah, Reckoning.
Whatever. And was that her name?
Yes.
What was the group's name? I don't even remember.
Oh, crap.
Exactly. Shit. You should have said shit. That's what it should have been.
Yeah.
But, like, all right, so, like, they kept, like, where's Dio Madden? Not Crowbar. Is he Crowbar or Mace?
Mace.
Who cares? It should be Dio Madden and Dijak. If Vince loves these one-name people, just call him goddamn Dijak, not Mace, whatever his damn name is.
T-Bar.
Yeah. You're just doing it on purpose now.
Yeah.
I hate it. That's why I can't watch this stuff. And I know we used to talk about NXT too. That show's slowly starting to grow on me. Because I think I've just kind of accepted it for what it is. It's just there for numb your mind. With some pretty cool stuff. Or stuff I do enjoy, actually. Which when it started, would not be the case. So maybe Shawn Michaels is doing his job pretty well. Because Triple H still isn't back yet.
Yeah, so. I mean, the characters are getting more, you know, like, they're getting more reps at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And things are improving because of it. Like, you're getting... The creepiness from Joe Gacy, to me, is coming out a little bit more.
Okay, yes. I'm glad you said that. I'm digging this now. Because he's very clearly a fraud.
Right.
But he's got, like, the cultish thing. And, like, the guy that keeps showing up, is it Garrison? No.
I can't remember his name, but yeah, he keeps talking to him in his promos.
So it's like, is Gacy, like, the leader of the cult, or which apparently, you know, NXT likes their cult figures, but so is he the leader, or is he, like, the follower that branched out, and this guy's coming after him? So there's a little bit of intrigue there. And then Like, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of grown on me. And I also look at him going, there's their next Kevin Owens. If you
Oh.
look at like build, hair,
Yeah.
stature, all that, there's their replacement for Kevin Owens if he does decide to leave. So no, he's grown on me. I didn't know much about him anyways. I'd heard of his name. I didn't see any of his stuff, but
Yeah, they've kind of gotten to the point where there's not much indie talent they couldn't sign, or, like I feel like the indie talent that I know is mostly in AEW, I guess maybe is the easy way to put it.
yeah. Well, see, what's funny to me is a lot of the indie talent around here has gone to Impact.
Oh.
Is it Savannah Evans? Damn it, I always get her name wrong. She's a pretty big black woman. And we saw her, she wrestled for Evolve. She actually wrestled, was it Shotzi?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, I can't remember. But she wrestled somebody and lost. But it was a good match, but you see, she was kind of green. And now she's on Impact. John Skyler, who used to do a lot of stuff on AEW, who's from PWX here, he's in Impact now as well. And he did stuff with the Ring of Honor too. There's one or two other ones. I'm waiting for Anthony Henry to go to Impact as well. He had a cup of coffee in NXT, which was a weird choice for him to go there anyways, but he's pretty good. So, but anyways, I was saying actually the indie talent, but yeah, man, NXT, like, I'm actually intrigued on what the hell MSK is doing, and I'm also appreciating the fact that they're going to their old stoner route without like flat out saying it.
Hey, yeah, like that. It's still a little weird to me that they've shifted gears so hard with them. Like, well, and maybe I should say I'm still confused why they are ever getting booed.
Yeah.
But it was pretty clear that they were getting booed. On a number of different occasions, but yeah, the stoner stuff that they did in Impact cracked me up. Like that was one of those things that when I did peek in on Impact there for that like 4 month time period or whatever, like I really enjoyed that. They do give off a very good half-baked vibe to their proceedings.
The idea that he's like, all right, we'll take scooters. And he goes, man, that place is 420 miles away. Okay, not so subtle. But then, oh God, I'm having a hard time with names today. I think I blew a gasket today. It was a rough two workouts today. What's the white guy's name?
I can't remember. It's hilarious because I'm honestly because they changed their names and then they didn't, and I have the review right in front of me, and I'm scrolling probably right past their names.
Yeah, it's so bad. Well, anyways, when the white guy goes, man, we can join the Mile High Club. And the black guy goes, man, is that what that means? Like, it was just perfect. It wasn't done tongue in cheek or anything. It was just like a Cheech and Chong thing. Like, wait, what? So it cracked me up. I don't know, maybe I'm getting soft.
Oh,
I don't know.
oh man, I do really like that new architecture building. Anyway,
Oh, I was just seeing the same commercial, and I was like, "Where the hell is that?"
yeah, that's the new School of Architecture. So, who are we just? Oh, MSK.
Yeah,
Yeah, I did find the review,
it's
but they didn't mention their names, so
Wesley, right?
oh yeah, Wesley and Nash Carter.
Thank you. Ooh, what a terrible name. Carter and Lee. Okay. But yeah, so like it is interesting. Like they were getting booed and then they removed the titles from them. And now they're down the road to find a shaman, which is just weird. But and they're always talking about, all right, no supplies for you. Like, okay.
Yep. No supplies for you. So yeah, they're definitely pulling the half-baked routine again, and I'm cool with it. And again, like, they were ones where they came in, they won the Dusty Invitational, but they never really did get to establish characters within that time frame. Like, and then Wesley ends up getting hurt right after they win it, and I think they made one appearance after winning it before he broke his wrist, and that just kept him on the shelf just long enough to just it kind of wrecked everything that came after it. Because I do think that they tried to establish them kind of well afterwards. Because we've talked about it before, like you can't fit everyone on a 1 hour show every week.
Yeah.
You know, that is in NXT. And sometimes they get bumped, but they still would be on at least two, to me, at least two out of every three shows. And it felt like they were trying to move them in the right direction, but they were not getting any traction for whatever reason. And yeah, I really like those two guys, and I'm glad. There's so many times where I'm like, I wish X person didn't get a second chance, but I'm glad they're getting a chance to reset their characters and kind of come at us with something that seems more within their wheelhouse than what they had been given previously.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's still that weird mix of old and new with NXT. So I guess, would they be considered old? I mean, they're on a few months. Like Imperium to me is older than MSK is, but Imperium's newer to the show.
Yeah.
Imperium's around longer if you watch the NXT UK. So
yeah, and I mean, it's not like they haven't at least made some sporadic appearances in main NXT also. Like, because we're... I feel like they were in some type of a tournament that was in NXT. Bartel and Eichner.
Yeah, they were in the Dusty Cup.
Okay. Yeah, so they've had more on and off exposure than MSK, but yeah, MSK is kind of the not as fresh property. Which is kind of hilarious because if I'm not mistaken, both of them are extremely young.
Yeah, well, who the hell knows? Like, and it goes to what I guess Taya Valkyrie again. She was talking about in her like Twitter statement, or I guess it'd be a statement, whatever press release. And she was saying it's absolutely garbage that. You know, especially now that the mandate, especially women, have to be 25, supposedly. Which
oh.
Now we'll get to that in a second. But she was like, it's absolutely ludicrous to think that at 38 years old, you're old. As a woman, you're old. As a man, you're a veteran. Look at Edge. I mean, hell, they just had Undertaker, Kane. It's a big show.
Yeah, but like, none of them are chewing up scenery every week.
Right, but the point, though, is the older guys are considered veterans. The older women are considered old. And especially if you're only wrestling once a week, if you're wrestling once a week, that's not that much wear and tear on your body.
Uh-oh.
You know? So it doesn't make any sense that they want to get younger when they're only wrestling once, if you're on a pay-per-view, twice a week. And I guess now they are doing house shows, so it does change it a little bit. But even then, you can – I mean
– yeah, four matches is not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Especially because the wrestlers at like the house shows take it easy, and they have more fun there. they're not doing all the crazy, you know, I would hope not, doing all the crazy stuff that you see on like a pay-per-view show or something. But I don't understand how the hell WWE doesn't get sued for age discrimination. If you're purposely getting rid of people over a certain age, isn't that age discrimination?
But then, see, and this is where the WWE's scattershot releasing program comes in handy. Because two people that I'm like, oh, I'm kind of interested to see where they go. Both very young. Both got released. Trey Baxter and Zeta Ramirez. I don't know what they were going to do necessarily. But you... having some type of romance within the WWE just seems so taboo, but it also seems very interesting to me and something that has potential. Especially in NXT. Like, I guess I'll always give a little more leeway to NXT. I'm like, hey, let's let this play out, especially since they had a couple of guys kind of being good players. And because I'm trying to think of who else was hitting on someone. Oh, well, Bartel kind of hitting on Gigi Dolan was hilarious.
Uh-huh. He has good taste, yes.
So, why'd you give them a first down? That's silly. Ooh, yeah. Horny NXT is kind of hilarious. But, yeah, that's why the WWE can get away with it not just being about age, because they have released some people that are younger. You know, like, again, do I know what real finished product Trey Baxter and or Zeta Ramirez is going to be? No, I have no idea, man. But if you're giving young people chances, and that's kind of the point of NXT right now, like, why did both of them got chances and they seem to do pretty well as far as I was concerned? Because Trey Baxter had a couple of matches, and I thought he had good showings in both of them. Because I think it's in two or three matches. And yeah, I thought he showed well in those. I also thought that Zeta Ramirez had... I want to say, did she have a match against Io Shirai?
I think.
It's just like, man, if you're... I thought it was pretty solid, honestly. Her match, the couple of matches that she was in, like, I thought that they were good. So, you know, that's kind of confusing too. So again, like, you can't go complete age discrimination when things like, when people like that are getting released.
I guess, but if you release, say, what would we say, 70? And 55 of them are over the age of 35, let's say. And then you go, well, look, the other 15 aren't. Like, well, 10 of them were 34, and five of the other ones, yeah, they were a little bit younger. Like, something like that. Like, it's still like, it's, I guess because it's not openly said. And maybe that's part of the, that's part of the deal with, like, wrestling. Because everything we're hearing is coming from a second source, you know? There's no direct edict. There's no paperwork, I guess, unless there is, which would be stupid to do. But it just seems weird to me. Like, everyone just goes, oh, yeah, they're just trying to get younger. Well, what? Like, what is that allowed?
I mean, you can't just, like, I mean, it would be silly to get rid of, you know, Roman Reigns just because he's a little bit older.
Right, right.
You know, like, some of those people,
you went
like,
for budget concerns, right?
Yeah, yeah, like, I get, but he's also selling way more merch than anyone that we've mentioned. Like, all of them combined are selling less than the merch that Roman Reigns probably sells in, like, 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, I do wonder that, like, and I may have missed it.
Not that but any of them probably have much merch, but, you know, anyway.
Well, what I'm thinking is, like, does Roman Reigns turn that much merch being a bad guy? Like, I'm actually genuinely curious about this, because, you know, Bray Wyatt was selling stuff hand over fist.
Will completely admit, I definitely saw Shahid with a Bloodline shirt. I have very well considered a Bloodline shirt. Because I'm like, man, it just looks, the shirt looks good. You know, the WWE, there are a lot of shirts, you know. Yeah, the fashionista police at Stunt Granny are still available from time to time. And, you know, it seems very popular to just put words on a shirt. And that's all you need to do. And it's just like, really? Like, that's all you need to sell a shirt? Like, you don't really need a design on there? You just need words? Holy fuck me. Like, I guess I should have gotten into the t-shirt industry and just started typing words on t-shirts. Seems like the easiest goddamn thing. But anyway, well, the Bloodline... the Bloodline t-shirt, like, it's a nice design. You understand, like, kind of the look that they're going for with it. I think it's really well done. So, yeah, I don't know how much it's selling, honestly, but I will say it's one of the slicker pieces of merchandise that I've seen on TV recently.
Okay. Well, I guess I'd see it more if I was actually watching SmackDown and Raw more. But, no, that was just a general question, because most of the time, heels don't sell that well.
Yeah, so, he's gotten a pretty mixed reaction. I think the ladies still think that he's fairly attractive.
Yeah, I'm going through, like, the AEW site, because I was wondering if they had a Budge t-shirt. which they kind of do. And, like, the only cool-looking one right now is the Rey Fénix one, because it's just him. Oh. Thunder Rosa is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, because I want to say that I saw a Britt Baker t-shirt, and I'm just like, okay. Like, it wasn't bad, but it didn't really draw my interest.
Well, the one I liked to her was when she busted her nose and it was bleeding, like doing like the Austin kind of thing with it.
Oh yeah,
that was a cool one, but whatever. Like, sure, but no, to go back to the NXT part, like, to say like everyone's got to be a certain age and whatever else now, just I like, how long is Roderick Strong going to be around? He better be gripping that cruiserweight title for dear life. But you can't fire me. I got the title.
Oh, trust me, I would be unsurprised if, especially the cruiserweight title, kept anyone around. Like, he's one where, to kind of call back to Taya Valkyrie, like, I don't understand if I would put Roderick Strong in that player coach kind of situation. That guy has been everywhere and done everything at this point.
Yeah.
And he seems like a good guy to have around. So that's why it seems weird to not have Taya Valkyrie / Frankie Monet still around. Like, if you want someone to wrestle the younger people, she seems like the perfect person to be doing it.
Yeah. There's going to be so much turnover in NXT still. Like, we already talked about Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano. They're up next week. I'm sorry, next month.
Oh, right.
Ciampa's left. Like, Tim, where's Timothy Thatcher? Danny Burch is 39. Unless he's a trainer, he's a gun. I can't see them
Yeah,
pulling Thatcher up.
since Oni Lorcan's gone, I feel like they're just waiting until Birch is not injured to cut him.
Yeah. Wait, he didn't get hurt again, did he?
Yeah. That's why he wasn't on TV.
Well, no, I thought he came back. He got hurt again?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
Yeah,
well.
he's had a bad run.
Yeah, that's terrible
Yeah.
then.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah,
no.
he's trying to match Tegan Knox as far as bad runs go.
Yeah, because he didn't have this problem over in the UK at least. But whatever. But yeah, but like, Kyle O'Reilly, that whole thing was so douchey this week. Von Wagner comes in, he's like, "You guys got a problem?" I'm like, "Ugh. I'm here for my little buddy." It's like, oh God, this is terrible. I just don't like that pairing. It's awkward, but it's an awkward that doesn't work. It just
Yes.
doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like it that is not a they love to do the odd couple pairings, and this is just an odd couple that is not in any way working.
Yeah, at all. But yeah, like so that one that one's a miss to me. But it's like, what are they gonna do with Kyle in the meantime? Nothing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean that's why I guess they're trying to give Von Wagner a little bit of Kyle O'Reilly rub before getting out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that O'Reilly got the official win over Adam Cole for the definitive I did better than you in the Oh shit, why am I forgetting their name too now?
What?
What was their group name?
Oh, Undisputed Era?
Undisputed Era.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know if I blanked out or what, but I was like, they don't have a name. Like, oh, never mind, never mind. Yeah. Yeah, well,
Yeah.
that yeah.
Like O'Reilly got that win, but then he immediately got put into the we've already given you a couple of title chances when you were in Undisputed Era. And now you're not really getting any.
Well,
Now that
they
you're
kind of
free of
screwed Kyle
Adam Cole.
O'Reilly when they had Karrion Kross beat all four people in a match. You
Oh,
know?
yes.
Like they did all that with no challengers set up for Kross, and now he's got no challengers whatsoever. And man, I know like NXT was supposed to be nice. NXT was supposed to be a developmental, and Triple H kind of turned it into a WWE indie.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I get it, and I know it's not its function, but that thing was making money. So, I don't know. I just like the whole thing. The whole decision was weird, but whatever. But it just seemed like the indie guys that they're going to be letting go because they had but they had O'Reilly and Gargano do dark matches before SmackDown,
Oh, they
which is
did.
just basically yeah, which basically solidifying no, we don't want them because they're too small. That's all I would take away from that.
Yeah, as much as I like both of them, I
Yeah.
just don't see them passing the size test. O'Reilly's a little bit bigger, but he's never been a big guy, though.
Right. Yeah. I mean, oh my God. I think I overdid it today. I just totally lost my train of thought again. Talking about, oh, okay, here we go. Dude, I did, all right, so I'm trying to get back up, get back competition, right? So, to quick aside, this is not bragging, this is what I'm doing. So I'm doing a deadlift cycle. So this week, Monday, I'm supposed to be deadlifting once a week, but that's not turning out that way. Anyways, so like Monday was 8 by 1 or 5 by 1 of just one rep at 420. No big deal. Cool. Then today, it was like a whole workout where I had to do two reps for 8 rounds of two reps at 4:35. Well, if you do a bunch to warm up Monday and then those, and then you do another heavier set with more reps on Wednesday, it's not easy. So I was exhausted. So, anyways, to get back to this, what I was going to say is they wanted to take Adam Cole, who was over from day one in NXT. They wanted him to possibly cut his hair, change his name, become a manager. That's Adam fucking Cole. Who, when he showed up on SmackDown as far as the NXT stuff, got a reaction from the crowd as well, mind you. So that crowd already knew him. And these dipshits are actually going to sit there and go, well, so we're going to change your look. Like, what do you think they're going to do with Gargano and O'Reilly?
Oh.
You know? Like, no.
There's nothing to do other than have them in a tag team.
Yeah.
Like that is probably their ceiling in the, on the main roster wise.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it wasn't really surprising. Had Ciampa not gotten hurt, I wouldn't have been surprised if him and Gargano went up to the main roster and did the DIY gimmick.
Well, remember they did get pulled up. They were supposed to be feuding. And they pulled him up on SmackDown. And that's when Ciampa got hurt, so they got rid of him.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean. Like, if it had it not been for the injury, I wouldn't have been completely surprised if they had stuck on the main roster at that point.
Could be.
But you know, that's a revisionist history thing now at this point, since it's been kind of a few years since that happened.
Yeah. Boy, that did not work out either. So.
Yeah, so I yeah, they could have gone with it on the main roster, but yeah, that's the ceiling for Gargano, for O'Reilly. Like they can't, they could be partners together, they could be partners with other people. You know, who knows at this point. But I really would not expect them because they're both kind of also, and I think that's at least part of it within the WWE decision making. It's still a world in which no matter how much of a name you've made for yourself, if you haven't made it on the main roster, you haven't made it. Because I think that it's still been abundantly clear when you get a, even if it's basically a sideways move at this point for anyone from NXT to move to the main roster, since they're on, well, at least Raw is on the same network, so it's not like you're even really changing anything, at least, you know, access wise to a wrestling fan.
Which we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts, but.
Because oh yeah, because NXT is still catching less viewers than Raw.
Yeah, I don't mean, you know, it was never, NXT was never designed to catch a bunch of viewers. I mean, if you go back to the whole, well, this is a developmental thing.
Oh yeah.
By name, it's supposed to be, by definition, it's a bunch of people that people don't know. So, you know, NXT had the following. The WWE fans had their following. Now, maybe little kids and the parents that don't watch wrestling don't know who these guys are, but those shows aren't populated with little kids and families that don't know people right now. Now, they're sure there are some out there. I mean, you're not going to get air quotes sellout crowds of just hardcores, because a lot of the hardcores have dumped them. I mean, shit, I talk about it all the time, how I barely watch. And by the way, I was not shitting on the idea of going to SummerSlam. I was just being honest, like, I don't know, man. But then you mentioned going to, if there's indie stuff where I'm like, yeah, I definitely could go. I could definitely go and do that. That sounded fun. I was like, oh, yeah. Just drink all over Nashville and go to indie wrestling? Yeah, that sounds fun. So, not going to Titan Stadium and watching Roman Reigns and God knows who he's going to beat again. So,
yeah, I will still say that I'm quite enjoying Mr. Reigns, but. And the overall,
it has nothing to do with the joint. It has everything to do with. There's no drama to it.
And the greater point too, like, yeah, because of all the cuts, I kind of felt better about not spending my money on Extreme Rules.
No shit.
To be honest with you, because there definitely were a lot of people within that category. You know, the people that have been released, it's just like, yeah, these people either have been misused or I see a lot of potential in them, so I don't understand why someone else did not see the potential in them at this point. So, yeah, it is definitely easier to blow off the WWE these days because there are there's an abundant, and I mean, we've talked about this too. There's just an abundance of options.
Dude, I've got Disney Plus, I have HBO Max, Netflix, Prime, all that stuff. There's so much on there that I don't get to. Well, now I can because I'm not watching wrestling. Like, you know, she can actually watch some of her shows. And like, I can watch, although my DVR messed up, I didn't get a chance to see Rampage last week. So luckily they put that Eddie Kingston CM Punk thing online, which was great. Yeah, there's far too many options right now. Entertainment dollar wise as well, maybe not. Like, you know, shows, whatever else. Suicide Squad was the last movie I saw. And before that it was Fast 9.
We went to something after Fast 9, but...
You saw Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'll see Friday when it comes on Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I watched Black Widow. That's on Disney Plus right now.
Oh, yeah.
The movie's not a bad movie. It's...
meanders. After the reviews, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, I get it. I didn't really want to pay for it, I guess.
No, and you shouldn't, because it's an utter waste of time. Nothing happens of consequence. I mean, nothing happens. You get introduced to her, she does this, introduces the family, conflict, the end. No surprises, no other Avengers are in it, nothing. And Elisa's like, you're pretty quiet, was it good? I was like, wasn't bad. I mean, on its own, it's not a bad movie. Knowing she's already dead absolutely obliterates everything in the movie. Because she's not going to die to come back at the end of the movie, you know?
Oh, right. So,
the only intriguing thing was the after credit scene, like they always are. And it basically sets up the Hawkeye show.
Oh.
So we're like, okay. But it was just a waste of time. So I was very happy to not go to see it in the theater. Cause I would have been furious. And I mean, especially with the way how much monies are right now. Wait, what? How much money movies are right now? You can't afford to have a waste of time. So, I know you said you like Shang-Chi. We just never got to see it. There's not a chance in hell I'm going to see Eternals. That looks dull as fuck.
The wife wants to see that one, so it might happen, but I don't know if it will. Because No Time to Die is also kind of on that short list of what we might actually see.
I talked over you. What movie? I'm sorry.
No Time to Die.
Nah, whatever. I've never been a huge James Bond fan, so I don't care.
That's one that when I was over in, for whatever random reason, when I was over in Italy, I really got into James Bond.
Makes sense.
And the weirdest thing is that I did not realize that the George Lansenby James Bond was not a good one. I'm like, oh, man, I kind of dig this one. Like, it has a nice vibe to it.
I've never seen that. I think I've seen some of the Pierce Brosnan ones. Oh. And I've seen all the Daniel Craig ones. And I will say I've seen them all once.
Yeah. So. Well, I know I've seen the Daniel Craig. I always thought that Pierce Brosnan would be perfect. And then his movies happened and they were just not good. Like, it was just like, this is like he, from the whole Remington Steele thing, I know that I didn't watch it, at least from that perspective when I was a kid, but I definitely remember my parents watching that one. And I assumed that Pierce Brosnan would make a good James Bond, and oof. The video game GoldenEye is the best thing that came out of that, the Pierce Brosnan franchise.
Yeah.
Because I remember the ex-wife and Ken used to play that all the time. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm going to the gym. And 2 hours later, I come back and they're still playing GoldenEye. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
I don't think I played that a little bit, and that's about all. So,
yeah they were huge. So long ago. I definitely played when I was around. It was a fun one, and it was probably the last newest video game on a console that I really played. So,
well, I've got a couple new ones coming up now, finally. But and again. To kind of wrap back into it, entertainment options.
Like
Battlefield 2042 comes out for me Friday. I think midnight Friday. And I just got the new Far Cry 6 a few weeks ago, but that game's so in-depth, like you haven't like had a chance. It's one of those where you sit down and you wake up, I'm sorry, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, it is Sunday. And this is Friday. Like, oh, crap. Okay. So,
yeah,
you pay like $100 for the deluxe game and a season pass. Well, how many movies is that? How many tickets to Raw is that? How many Peacocks is that? You know,
oh like right, the
subscriptions. Another thing, like Battlefield 2042 comes out, another $100 if you get like the season pass and all this stuff with it. Right? There's other entertainment options out there, and they even go lower scale to go back to the Disney thing. You can get that, ESPN and Hulu, for $12 bucks a month.
I got a little bit of a discount since I prepaid for ESPN Plus. So I think I'm paying like $8.77 or something like that a month.
Nice. Yeah. It's worth it.
But yeah, I mean, there's more than enough stuff on there. The Star Wars Visions has been the second one was a little bit of a drag. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but now that I'm not commuting, I'm not spending extra time that much extra time on wrestling. Like it's gotten invested into other stuff, and Star Wars Visions was on the list. That first one was fucking badass.
What is Star Wars Visions?
They let a bunch of Japanese animators tell their own stories. They're not about real they're not about characters necessarily that are truly around in the Star Wars universe, but they let them tell stories within the Star Wars universe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And the first one is just this black and white kind of sketchy look, like sketchy as in it looks like it was always just perpetually a sketch, not like a full like rendered drawing. And it was like a samurai Jedi versus Sith kind of situation, and it's awesome. It is the best. The right. second
I'll,
one,
I'll try and check that out. Then
the second one was a little bit of a drag, but the other ones after that have just been kind of fun. Like they're kind of, you know, they seem a little more anime standard to me. I've enjoyed them, but it does seem a little more formulaic than, like I said, that first one really stood out. Like, I'm like, why wasn't this the last one?
Well, I watched, again, on entertainment options, like, are those like 30-minute episodes?
Yeah, something like, perfect. No, it's whatever. Like, the one was only 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's, all right, even better. So it's kind of like, it's made for like a YouTube generation then, which I'm actually starting to slowly understand. Because, like, I finally watched all of What If.
Oh, that was hilarious. The wife's like, oh, I'm kind of interested in that. And then she saw that it was all animated, and she's like, I'm not interested now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. I don't know if you watched any of it. I enjoyed some more than others. Everything was so depressing.
We only watched the first one with
Agent Carter.
Yeah, Agent Carter becoming Captain Britain.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked it. It actually you probably figured out everything comes together at the end. Like, there is a point to all these stories.
Okay.
Which was originally not what it was, because I was like, this is so simplistic. The way it was going, like, and the What If didn't even make sense. Like, what if Chakala, was Star-Lord instead of Peter Quill? And it was like, this is stupid. The idea is stupid, and then you watch, you're like, oh, okay, all right, whatever.
That one seemed a little more random to me, because I think that's the second episode. The first one, you're like, I can understand how this might have happened.
Yeah.
Transforming one of your characters into one of your other characters is kind of a weird play.
Yeah. Yeah, like the one Thor, Loki actually went to live with his own people. So Thor's just a party guy the whole time. He had no conflicts. The zombies one was kind of cool, just to see the zombies part. Just stuff like that. So it was interesting. Short episodes, which is another thing. And then it all comes to a point at the end, which is like, okay. But then even recently, I discovered this channel on YouTube. Just speaking of entertainment options, like, and this is free. And it goes over like short history of like horror movies or sci-fi movies. You can just listen to them. You don't even have to watch it.
But
that's 50 minutes, so you can run through 5, 6, 7, 8 of them in no time whatsoever for free.
Yeah, that's one that you did that a lot more than I did. And I've definitely fallen into that habit recently, yes. Where since I do play mobile games a lot, especially Magic the Gathering and Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, there are a couple of YouTubers that I now watch / mostly listen to as I'm working.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, I can learn how to play better as I just work. Like, I don't really need to pay it. Like you said, like, you don't really need to pay attention. Like, will I look at it every now and again? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really need to be looked at all. Like, it's basically a podcast.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I do, like, need to get these things up on YouTube at some point.
Yeah. Even those, like, those Broken Skull sessions, you would just put that out. It's just a podcast in the background. And every once in a while you turn and look like, oh, okay. Like, any of that stuff. So I know that's wrestling, but it's still like there are plenty of other entertainment options out there to take your attention away. And I end up inevitably, you know, working my way back towards some sort of wrestling. But it's not the first choice. If I've already seen, like, what's going on in AEW, I don't need to watch their highlights. I see the pictures of what happened on Raw or SmackDown, and I go, I'll choose that.
And it is so easy to, like, for a lot of these shows, especially, I've definitely watched more wrestling since I haven't had to commute, but watching everything on YouTube is another one where it's just like, I can easily do the show and just watch the YouTube highlights, because that's all you really need.
Yep.
You know, like, they get across most of the main points, and if you are really invested in a character, they definitely seem to, which makes sense, play out the character interview stuff way more online than the match. You know, the matches are the things that get, cut up. The promos, yeah. Not really. Like, yeah. Maybe some of the 15-minute ones get chopped down to, like, 5 minutes or something like that, or maybe half the length at, like, 7. But for the most part, you know, they're really trying to get the characters over online and not necessarily the wrestling.
Yes. Which is what the damn show's supposed to do. You know, like...
Well, it does, but it's just... It gets lost sometimes. I think that it is almost better presented on YouTube than it is on on the TV shows.
Yeah. Dusty used to say this all the time. The matches don't matter. Especially TV stuff doesn't matter. You have to get characters over. You have to get people to want to watch the match instead of going, I hate you, and you go wrestle. No. There has to be some sort of story. I have to know something about you. I have to know something about your opponent. And instead, now it's just, tonight we're going to have a grudge match. Like, wait, there's no build. Like, even Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens this week, there was a one-week build? Like, with a pay-per-view every single month or an event, whatever they're calling them, you can at least have it for 4 weeks, just something. And they just don't do that anymore. And then all of a sudden, there's an interview online. You're like, what? Why wasn't this on TV? Instead of like them doing whatever they do.
Yeah, and that's the other reason, like, you almost get more information sometimes online, because whether it's the Raw highlights or the SmackDown highlights or even the NXT highlights, there's, they did this backstage after the show, and it's just like, you're getting almost more information through YouTube than you are through, their main channels on TV.
Which I know is another source of revenue. So you want people to go to your YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, whatever.
right.
But you're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars, where in the long term, you're going to sacrifice hundreds of millions of dollars if your TV deal comes up short from what it used to be. Because I think their TV deal's only got, 2 years left? A year left? And, like, Nick Khan was talking about in the meeting that their next big digital rights platform is Hulu. Because when they took it over, Universal had a stake in it. And now Disney's buying it out. So now they're going to have to renegotiate the rights to show WWE on Hulu. And if I'm Disney, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, we don't need you. So you're going to lose that revenue stream. You're going to make some. You're not going to make as much as they think they are, because it's not live. So there's no benefit for them shelling out millions of dollars, because no one is going to subscribe to Hulu so that they can watch the WWE highlights or matches.
It's just going to be a side benefit.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll be a lesser benefit because of how they're conducting themselves now.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough sell currently.
Yeah.
They have definitely not been at their best. and the cuts only just make them seem worse.
Yes. Especially when they announced like their revenue was like $275 million for the quarter. And they go, "No, budget cuts." Like, what budget cut? You're making $275 million and your talent budget is 47 cents? Like, what?
They want to make $278 million next quarter.
Yeah. I mean, they gotta be getting ready to sell the company, right?
That's
doesn't it just seem this way?
Until they stop doing stuff like this, it definitely is going to seem that way.
Okay.
So,
I think we both started watching the same thing, by the way. but no, I used to have this argument with Sheehan all the time. It's like YouTube doesn't matter. I mean, you can make a lot of money, yes. You aren't going to make near the amount of money you will from a network deal, from your TV rights deal. It's never going to compare.
That's the part that seems strange to me. Because it's kind of similar to the argument to me that we make all the time about BTE. Like, I know that you watch that more, but it's also, to me, it's been one of the victims of me watching other stuff on YouTube, honestly. And it's just like, it just hasn't made the cut. If they want to be telling the storylines from BTE on the main roster, you know, on Dynamite and or Rampage, you need to tell them there. Like, it's kind of strange that the WWE helps people fill in their characters, but only in a more inconspicuous spot.
Yeah.
You know, it is nice, since I guess I go there more frequently now, that I can jump into that stuff. But, yeah, not really the best place to be doing that, in my opinion, also.
Yeah, well, they don't seem to follow... unless they know something we don't, I don't understand how they conduct themselves anymore. I don't understand how they conduct themselves with talent, because every single time I hear a wrestler go, "You have to work on your relationship with Vince. You have to do this. You have to do this." And it's proven to be bullshit, but yet they continue to say that stuff. It's always the top guys that say this, like the guys who got in good because Vince decided, "I want to like you." Like, look at Braun Strowman. That was a Vince project, and all of a sudden just lets him go. And he was like, "Wait, what?" A guy that supposedly had all these plans from all this stuff. No, you don't matter. And I think that's another thing that going forward, I think a lot of people are going to see, like, and by a lot of people, I mean like wrestlers, are going to look and go, "I can probably make a little bit less with more financial or a more secure employment."
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me. Like that, I don't know what it does to your base of talent.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they've gone out to... And I don't know if maybe they're expecting people to be either naive or they're just going to go, "Well, whatever, I am younger, I can do this."
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are always ways for people. And that's why I guess I don't think there's any way that the WWE goes away. Like...
Oh, no.
I may not like what they're doing currently, but I also don't think that a whole lot's going to happen either. Like,
well, I mean, obviously, nothing lasts forever, so you can never say it would never go away. But, I'm with you. They are financially successful. Creatively, a disaster, but financially,
very
successful.
And that's what's going to keep them around, you know?
Exactly.
No matter how much I suppose we're worried about whether they should be doing this or that on YouTube or not. As long as they're making that bank, they're going to be around.
Yeah, but at what point, though, do the ratings continue to decline to where the USA Network goes, no. Like, we paid you that much when you were at a 3-point or a 4-point, and ever since you signed this TV contract, now you're at a 1-point something? So you're not getting the same deal. I mean, you'd be a fool to offer the same deal like that.
Well, I don't know about a fool, just because I do think that in general, because of the entertainment options, no one is pulling what they used to. Like, it's just plain, like, even the biggest things aren't pulling the same crowds that they used to. You know, football games aren't pulling the same crowd that they used to, even though it's still the biggest crowd.
Yeah, I've noticed that, especially with some of the college ones, too. But that may be a generational thing. But the pros all look like they're sold out to me.
It's not the attendance crowd that's the problem. The viewer crowd.
Well, I mean, the NFL is still getting, like, their highest ratings. Still getting their highest ratings, as far as I know. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, I'll be curious to see, like, what the baseball ratings were for Atlanta and Houston. That sort of stuff.
Oh,
just, like, yeah. Any stuff like that, like.
And I guess that's part of it. At least from what I've seen, like, everything as far as major viewership is down. You know, whatever primetime show we liked in the 90s, it blew out the whatever primetime show I liked in the 2010s.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That kind of a situation. So, it's kind of hard to say, I guess, just because we're not in that position of what do you keep? Like, and I feel like almost sometimes just like, oh, how are they going to keep this? Like, I feel like we've been that way a couple of times, honestly, within the time frame that we've been doing Stunt Granny. And yeah. Like, that's how long we've been doing these podcasts. But yeah, anyway, it also,
like, we're dropping like flies. Dusty just up and stopped watching. Eric doesn't watch anymore. And I've very openly said, so, but at least I'm still watching, like, AEW. I'm watching MLW when I can find it. That's such a confusing TV deal they have. You know, also go to, like, indie events and all that sort of stuff. But, like, the big stuff, no, which is kind of like what I've always, I go with it. Like, obviously, I enjoy WWE, but I always have a much better time at the smaller shows. But it's just like, that's like, yeah, that for everything, like music, like any of that sort of stuff. I always have a better time at, like, you know, the more intimate, like,
our people show. Yeah, you know? we do not listen to popular music, is what you're saying.
No, that's like, did you ever run into, and I don't know if we have to wrap up or not, but this perfect thing to wrap up on, but I absolutely can't stand when somebody tells me I've heard a song I've never heard of before, and they go, well, no, it's on the radio, and I go, I don't listen to the radio. Oh, well, you're in the car. I was like, well, first off, I work from home, so no, because I ride my bike to the gym, and then two, if I tell you I didn't hear it, I didn't hear it. So, like, an example of this would be, well, you've heard of Taylor Swift. I'm like, yeah, I've heard of her. Oh, you know that song? It's like, no, I don't. Oh, you've heard it. No, I haven't. And it's like, I immediately get mad because I'm like, do you know me? One, why would I ever listen to a Taylor Swift song?
You know, it's always one of those ones where I think I've at least had Shahid mention this stuff to me from time to time, where it's out there and I don't know that it's out there. It's right. Just like, it's always one of those, Yes, you and the examples that you're giving are probably valid examples of what you heard, but it's also like, hey, it was on this commercial. It's just like, oh shit. Well, yeah, I've definitely heard that commercial.
Okay, and that's where I was going with it then. Is, well, yeah, so you've heard it here. I went, I guess? Like, but it's like,
Yeah.
if you're telling me, oh no, you heard it in a commercial, I'm like, what? Like, that's okay.
Yes, there are more things like that for me where I'm like, oh, this song got snuck into me and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, but it's like, I heard a Taylor Swift song for the first time ever, I think about 6, 7 months ago. And it's obviously not my bag, okay? I
Oh.
freely admit that. But then I just go, why is she popular? I'm honestly confused. Like, huh? I don't get this. Then, like, it always goes into like stuff like, you gotta be in your lane or whatever else. Well, I used to be like, we used to be up with like the popular rap stuff, if you will. I couldn't tell you a single goddamn, like, I've heard of the artist's name, like Travis Scott, with all that stuff that's going down. You ever heard of Travis Scott song?
No, I don't think so.
Exactly. He's got his own festival. We've never heard of him. It's just crazy. It's not even like a matter of getting old. It's a weird thing to me that
Oh.
people insist, oh, you've heard this before. It's like, we have? Like, when? And then just to find out, like, oh, well, this is different, okay. But
Yeah, it's really easy to get lost, well, A, in your own world, but even B, the options sometimes. Like, that's one of those ones for me where I still, that's one of the few things I miss about the commuting is I don't listen to as much music because I listen to that primarily driving and
yeah.
listen to the podcast more when I was working. But I wouldn't mind just going from like the metal station to the punk station to the classic rock station to the 90s alternative station to the techno station. Studio 54 is a good one, which is all the classic disco stuff. I can be all over the place music-wise sometimes.
Absolutely, yes,
And
but
that's something that I've missed, but it's also another reason why it's kind of easy to like I like all this stuff I more than rap, I guess. So it's kind of hard to keep up with what's going on in rap when I'm listening to like eight other types of music.
yeah.
And definitely heavy metal gets way more play than anything else. But even within that, the amount of bands that are coming out at this point, I'm like, I've never heard this band, and wow, they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that does not help. Well, it helps stretch the entertainment dollar because it's just like, wow, man, I didn't realize this, and it's just like, wow, There is a lot out there.
Yes, and I think I know like Spotify and like services like that get a bad name because how they don't pay people, which is just, that is wrong. There's no way around it. But damn, it really helps you discover new stuff. And it's been great. It's been absolutely great for that sort of stuff. But it leads you to be like, yeah, well, what's it like Spotify will suggest something and I'm like, do you even pay attention? Which goes to my whole computers will never take over the world because they just clearly don't understand how things work.
Well, even last year, like I remember getting my "This is what you listen to the most on Spotify," and I'm like,
Yeah, I got mine too. Yeah.
"No, that's not what I listen to the most." Like I'm quite sure that you're wrong. Like it was a band that I didn't really listen to that much. I'm just like, I don't understand what's going on here.
I would say mine was fairly accurate. If, yeah, if I think about it, no, mine was fairly accurate. I was like, yeah, I remember listening to that a lot. Or, yeah, I remember listening to them a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some of them that I remember being right, but I think Hatebreed was at the top of my list, and I'm like, I love those guys, but that's not what I listen to the most. Like, I'm pretty sure that you guys are wrong. But they do a pretty nice job. Like, I have been checking more recent, or I've seen more recently. I'm just like, oh man, that's kind of fun. Like, they are starting to suggest. I've paid attention to the suggestions more recently, I should say. And oh yeah, and that's been the other fun one. The younger of two of my college age niece had me start listening to her music. She
Oh no.
befriended me on Spotify, so I've been delving into college early 20-year-old Delver brain situation, so that's been kind of interesting too.
What nonsense do they listen to? Because they're not exactly the smartest generation, so.
Well, she's pretty sharp, but
Well, yeah, but come on.
I in some ways I was not surprised at the one end of the list. They always have the like genre types that are within your playlist, and it wasn't completely surprising that sad girl music was listed in there.
Wow, they still got sad girl music in there, huh?
Yeah, there's definitely emo has a new name. And I guess that's just the female version of it.
Oh, all right. I, you know, I did not know that, so.
Cause yeah, that was the only reason. Yeah, so that's also been kind of an interesting musical experience to take in. She also had a best of 2020. I'm like, oh, I'll start jumping into this a little bit to see what she thought the best of 2020 was.
Oof.
You know, and I guess I don't mind. Like, it's a lot of indie rock type stuff.
Oh, okay.
Is more kind of the area that she's in. And I guess that's another station that I didn't mind, that I enjoy listening to on Sirius XM is the indie rock station. Like, again, like, to go back to the maybe not knowing who the rap artist is, there's a poop ton of artists out there, and there's only so many times in the day.
Yeah, and my thing with like a lot of the artists now is it just doesn't seem like anyone sticks around. Like there's no longevity left anymore. It's you get an album or so and you're on to then like it seems like our generation stuck with people. Not all of them obviously, but you know, you see like lifelong fans where a lot of the stuff like I remember hearing, and this stuck out to me. There's a band called Fun. Do you
Okay.
remember them?
No.
Okay, you may have heard a song by them. They were on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
So there's that. And I remember hearing somebody talk about this great new band. They're amazing, and they're called Fun. And I was like, oh, okay. So I hear it, and I go, this fucking sucks, first off. And second, they're supposed to be like, you know, they're gonna change music and this. They're gone. One album, that was it. So it's just like.
Oh. Yeah, that's been kind of the wild thing for me. It's kind of, at least for the heavy metal people, it's surprising to see some of these older bands that I might have listened to when I was in high school come back now.
Yeah.
And
Yes.
I don't know if something like that will occur with the band that just did one album and then broke up. It's
Yeah.
possible. Yeah, that's one where I'm like, I can't believe that this band is still playing music now at this point. Like, they have really even if they broke up and got back together, like, that's kind of the market that's at least available. It's good enough for someone to go, okay, yeah, I can make a living at this again after being off for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a, who was it? It's a very obscure band, but it's in the same vein. They're called Cowboys and Aliens. And their last album was 2009? Maybe 2009.
Okay.
And they just put a new album out last year. I'm sorry. It was 2004.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and now they're back, and it's like, for a band you never really heard of to begin with. I mean, to be completely honest, I like them, but you never really heard of them. Well, to have them come back after all this time, like, that's just weird. But, hey, making money, getting paid. So, good for them, man. I mean,
yeah, if you think it's financially worth it, go for it.
Because, and I think the one thing is, like, rock over here is taking such a backseat, and overseas it's still huge.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not. I guess I still haven't completely gotten into the multi-day concert thing. It just, I like the, I did always go to Ozfest when it was around for the most part. Mm-hmm. But, like, when it turned into a multi-day thing, I'm like, I don't have a whole weekend to do this, guys. You know, like, this is a little too much. Like, and most places seem to want to do, get all 3 days or else you're kind of screwed kind of situation too. It's just like, again, guys, like, you're killing my entire weekend. Cool,
I'll
but
tell you what,
not cool.
I think if you camped out or if you had the hotel near it, you'd have a lot of fun. I mean, dead serious.
Well, we're not that far. We're only 10 or 15 minutes from where they do that stuff. Old Crew Stadium is where they still hold most of those types of events. And it's okay. Just like, it's, I guess for me, since the wife doesn't listen to any of that and does not want to go to the concerts, it's a hard sell for me. A one night thing is always easy because it's just like, have fun. I'm going to see, you know, Slayer tonight. I'm out. I've got to see this.
Yeah. We did that. I think we're going to try and do it next year, and we'll see. We'll obviously see how it goes, but you know, things can change too. So who the hell knows what we're going to do? But we're going to try and check it out because they have Rockville. We actually get a lot of them down here, which is kind of weird. You wouldn't think so, but.
Yeah, because I know that the Carolina Rebellion is one that I feel like I hear about from some of the heavy metal people.
Well, it's all gone now, so you won't hear about it anymore.
That was the other thing. Like, I want to say that the one that was up, Rock on the Range, was the popular one here in Columbus. Yeah. But I think it's been rebranded. And then it also seems like this other one called Incarceration is getting more popular, and they're doing that up at the prison where Shawshank was filmed.
Oh, cool.
Which is north of Columbus by about an hour. But then again, like, that's another one where I'm like, do I really want to spend a weekend in a tent? Not really. Like, nah, that's okay. I prefer to be in my bed if that's an option.
Someone's getting old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of adventure.
Gone. Glamping is the best that it happens.
Well, wait, all right. So real quick, we'll get out of here on this one. I told you about my experience at the Modest Mouse show, like my old man moment.
I don't think you did.
Okay, so lifting and all this does mess my back up a little bit, all right? So I've got my very sturdy foam roller, and for the first time ever, I brought it on a trip, figuring, you know what? I probably need to take care of myself, even when I'm not working out, whatever else, right? So I decided to bring it with me. And I'm like, oh, you know what? We got to stand this entire show. So let me roll out real quick, pop the back so it doesn't hurt while I'm standing all this. We hadn't even been drinking and roll my back out real fast. I didn't take my time or anything. Get to, like, we were walking, like, I think my back feels worse right now. Like, it started cramping in the middle of my back. The middle of my back started cramping. It went to my neck. And this is like as we're walking to the show, I'm going, okay, I can't get tore up because we're going to see my parents tomorrow. So I don't want to be all hungover seeing my parents, you know? And we're just standing there, and then, we weren't drinking, but I was still feeling okay. And yeah, okay. And everything's, we're having beers, everything starts wearing off though, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh my God, my fucking neck is killing me. The middle of my back keeps cramping, my lower back is starting to hurt, and I'm like, if I just don't move, I'll be okay. But then I'm the psychopath at a show, just standing still watching this show. I don't want to move except like to put a beer up to my lips. That's it. And I'm like, I don't know how much more I got left of me. Like,
Hey,
I didn't want, we didn't leave, but I was seriously tempted. Like, this is not going well, man. Ugh.
yeah, the standing still in the same spot for 6 hours is not the
No, it was terrible.
best.
So.
I've definitely tried to move around a little bit recently because it has gotten to me the last couple of concerts that I've been to.
Well, this is the first time in a while that,
Old man problems.
yeah, well, did it to myself. If I was drunk, probably would've been fine. So, considering I don't remember much of the last concert we went to, I had to, behave. So,
Well, speaking of beer, the Beltane beer choice from at DeFrango 11 here is one that people should actually be able to get a hold of no matter where they might be listening. Oscar Blues 1050 Barrel Aged Imperial Stout, bourbon barrel aged. It was quite good. I'm not completely sure why it was in my house, but it was, and I just consumed it, and it's pretty dang on good. Oscar Blues knows what they're doing, so I'm not also surprised by this news.
They're only a 2 hour drive for me, so
Yep.
lucky me. Mine is the Edmund's Oast Amaretto Sour. Supposed to taste like an amaretto sour, which I used to consume a lot of those in college, and I don't remember what they taste like. So it tasted good, but I don't know if it tastes like an amaretto sour. So I give it a passing grade just on being a sour. So,
Rock and roll. That's at Granny Mae's. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any fine purveyors of podcasts, whether it is Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
later, gang.